Destination, freedom. Listen, it's the freedom bell.
Aye, the freedom bell, my friends. And this is Paul Revere, called back from the shadows by the sound of the freedom bell to cry again a warning that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
Destination Freedom is presented by Station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Paul Revere is the symbol of warning, ready to ride down the skies to shout an alarm. His destination, now and forever, freedom.
Aye, freedom. It is not the possession of one man or one nation. It belongs to all mankind. America is the symbol of freedom to all the world, and today that freedom, so casually enjoyed, is greatly endangered. There is a crisis. The outcome? Take your choice. Expanded freedom and personal liberty, or complete suppression of the individual, with men becoming slaves to the state. Democracy or communism? Two alternatives. Take your choice. For it is your action to meet the crisis that will determine the future status of freedom and the civilized world. War is not the cure-all. Men must learn that war can no longer be the final solution to international problems, but that in a strengthened United Nations lies the only means of preserving the world for an ever-expanding ideal, the inherent worth and dignity of the individual in a land of free men.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if there were no more wars, or rumors of wars, no more strife between men and nations, if there were only peace. Wishful thinking, I tell myself, thoughts like that. Yet we all dream of a better world, and some of us work for it. Still, the question is, what can we do about it? What difference will it make, as the saying goes, 50 or 100 years from now? Would you like to know what difference it makes whether we have, for instance, a vigilant United States or a United Nations or not? Listen to what happened to me in a dream the other night. It was a pretty hair-raising experience, this dream, motivated perhaps by my deep concern for the security of world peace. It was early in the evening. I was having a talk with some men over dinner, and we were having quite an argument.
40 to 50 million they've spent on that UN site over on the east side. Can you imagine that?
You mean they seriously think there'll be a UN by spring?
Sure. Why shouldn't they?
Well, because the UN's washed up, boy. Wake up. Don't you read the newspapers anymore? Don't you listen to the radio, look at those sessions on television? UN is through.
Not quite, my friend. Maybe all that the delegates do is talk and talk and talk. But if only they'll just keep on talking and talking, maybe they'll finally get somewhere.
Talking never got anybody anywhere. All the money they're spending on peace is going down the drain.
Or into the East River. Now, you're right. Talking's no good. It's action that's important. Why, if I had anything to say about it, we'd fly all the planes and atomic bombs we've got over those countries making war and blast those troublemakers to kingdom come. And we'd really have peace for a change.
Wonder, is violence the way to end violence? Is bloodshed and misery the way to end bloodshed and misery? We've been solving our problems for centuries by war. Well, have we solved anything? Has the little peace we mortals have enjoyed between wars been only a cessation of hostilities and no peace at all? Are man's former wars part of an historical snowball rolling down the years to gather momentum for the final catastrophe? World annihilation? World suicide? And universal silence? Will the so-called superatomic weapons for peace backfire and drag down the victor and the vanquished? And is this awesome and unspeakable climax to happen in our time? Well, I said good night to my friends and left the restaurant perturbed. Couldn't sleep. So I walked the streets of this city until I was so exhausted I had to take a cab to my home. I believed in men working tirelessly for peace and for freedom, the United Nations. But my companions had planted a germ in my mind. What if there were no United Nations? Would the world be a little better off? A phrase kept rolling madly around in my head.
Oh, we shall have weather, whether or not.
And I kept paraphrasing it.
And we shall have trouble and war, UN or not.
I couldn't get that stupid phrase out of my thoughts. When I got to my room and went to bed, it was quite late, and as I dozed off into a fitful slumber, I remembered a light flashing on and off outside my window. Then I began to dream.
It's a failure, what's the use?
Be realistic, all they do is talk and talk and talk
and talk. And talk and talk and
action's better than talk.
Bomb them, I say.
Sure, take all the atom bombs we have and blast the troublemakers off the face of the earth.
Then we'd really have peace.
X-ray, X-ray. Big five walk out. Read all about it. United Nations fold. X-ray, X-ray.
In my dream, it was X-ray. Suddenly morning. The flashing light outside my window had merged into sunlight. I called the newsboy and scanned the headlines. What? The United Nations at an end? Well, a lot of skeptical people would be glad. But now what happens?
X-ray, X-ray. Read all about it. War flames the Orient. Europe overrun. Occupation armies held as hostages. Read all about it. Congress calls special session.
I tossed in my bed, trying to wake from the nightmare. Or was it a dream? Was it second sight? Was this a glimpse into the future?
Hey, wake up. Wake up.
Huh? Well, what's the matter?
What'd I tell you? Now we're really going to get some action. They've gone too far this time, holding our boys as hostages.
What are you talking about?
Listen, haven't you heard? We've sent half our entire Air Force and three-quarters of our atom bombs to wipe out every city and industry they have.
Then we're at war again?
War? No, this is just what we used to call a little mopping-up operation.
World War III. It's happened. It's really happened. The nightmare plunged on relentlessly. Then I seemed to hear a low rumble like an earthquake. I waited, trying to keep a growing sense of panic from getting control of me. Finally, I went downstairs and stopped by the switchboard.
Let them buzz. They're driving me crazy. I've had 1,000 calls in the last 10 minutes, at least 1,000.
What's happened?
Well, it's bad, all right. They've blown up our harbor in the Navy. What there was of it on the West Coast has been literally shot to pieces.
What?
You know, V-2s or whatever they call them, flying bombs. I just got it on the radio. They didn't want the city, it seems, just our ships and the coastline. Well, they've done a good job of it, all right.
I can't believe it.
Thank goodness for two oceans. That's all I gotta say. Although, come to think of it, what good are they now? All right, all right. Hello. Hello. I'm ringing.
Then there was an awful period of silence. What had happened to the Air Force we'd sent with our atom bombs? Not a word. Hours went by. Finally, days. Then a week later, over the shortwave radio came a lone voice from across the Atlantic, cutting in on a regular radio show.
Hello, America. Hello, United States. This is Adams, foreign correspondent for the Universal Syndicate. I'm on the coast of France. Haven't much time. Can you hear me? Then listen. This is probably the last message out of Europe. They've got this continent. And Asia, too, if my sources are any good. Prepare, America. They're coming for you. Prepare for a siege. Funny, isn't it? The United States, like one of those little islands in the Pacific during the last war, in siege. Only, maybe it isn't so funny after all. Sorry.
I went went out into the crazy night. The news was spreading. People were gathered in the streets, their faces unbelieving, angry.
Just let them try to come over here.
Yeah, like Churchill once said, we'll fight them in every village, in every house, in every doorway.
Fight with what? They've got half our air force. We've only got a few atom bombs left.
Hey, what are you, buddy? One of them?
I stumbled away. No, I wasn't one of them, but I was scared because I alone knew that this might really be the end of the world. And then in my dream, I became aware of a fog that was drifting in from the sea. In the dim light of the brown out, the mist looked thick and yellow. It swirled past me and over me. I began to stumble, trying to find my way. There was a faint, sickly sweet odor pushing its way up my nose. My head ached with confusion. I'd never seen a fog like this before. And in my ears a growing drone, like a swarm of horrible, enormous bees. Or was it flying projectiles? I was unconscious. I had no way of knowing. In a dream, as you know, there's no sense of time. But when I awoke, the sun was piercing my eyes with a knife-like light. Finally, when I could see, I realized the glare was so intense because there were no trees, no grass. But where was I? On a plain, a bare, rocky plain. Gutted and pockmarked by yawning holes, jutting metal-like stone that glittered in the sun like something alive. Alive! What a strange word. There was nothing alive on that plain. I was the only living person that I could see. Then, seized by terror, I began to walk to try to find... What was I looking for? To try to find civilization. I walked for what seemed an eternity. And then it began to grow dark. A weird phosphorescent glow lit up the sterile earth. And hideous vapors steamed out of gullies in the ground. The moon came up. A sphere of red that seemed, through the fetid, steamy air, to bleed about the edges. Then I heard a voice.
Help me. Help me.
Lying in what seemed to be a section of a building foundation was a woman. Gaunt and hollow-eyed.
You are alive, too? It's not possible.
Yes, I escaped.
You call this escape? Escape from what? How long have you been here?
I don't know. I was dazed by whatever happened.
The lucky ones were killed. Have you tried to eat?
No, I haven't been hungry yet.
You will be. And you will find, as I did, there's no food left. Food that isn't poisoned by that mist.
Then we'll soon be dead, too. Is there no one left at all?
Do you see anyone? Can you believe that anything could live out there? The miracle is that you and I are alive.
What about the enemy?
Who knows? But I think no one is left. Or very few, anywhere in the world. I think it has all gone up in a mushroom of smoke. I think the world has really committed suicide this time.
Action, that's the thing. We've had enough of talk.
All they do is talk and talk and talk and talk. Bomb them.
Send all the planes we've got, all the atom bombs.
Blast them. Blast them to kingdom come.
Then we'll really have peace. 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 Peace.
My fitful nightmare went on. Now I seem to be floating up over the desolate world. Over the discolored ocean that foamed up in sporadic geysers, tortured by an endless nuclear fission that seemed to have disjointed and corrupted the whole map of the globe. Then I began to descend toward a shore that was appearing in the distance. I was heading for a stretch of land that was again unrecognizable. No. No, I could tell now that it was remains of the land of the enemy. And this speck of earth had a patch of green. Wonderful green. Green, the color of life, of growing things. Green, the color of undeath. There was grass on this shore, and a cool, fresh wind, and a tree here and there waving gracefully. By a willow tree, I found a pool of water, quenched my thirst in its cool depths. As I rose from the bank, a man touched my shoulder.
Who are you?
What? Who are you? What place is this?
I don't know. I don't remember.
What do you mean?
After the fog, I didn't remember anything of what went before.
Are you alone here?
No, there are a few others left. They're over there beyond the hill.
Do you have food? Shelter?
Yes. Herbs, sweet grass to eat, milk from a cow. For shelter, we found some caves. Better than they open when it rains or when it's cold.
What about clothes?
We don't know. When these rags are gone, there are animals left in the forest. Maybe we can catch some and use their skins if we can make a weapon from stone.
That can be done. It was done 100,000 years ago.
Come, you must be tired and hungry. Come, we'll share what little we have with you.
Thank you. You've fed me when I was hungry. You've clothed me when I was naked.
What did you say?
I was quoting.
Yes. From the book.
Yes. From the book.
It's hard to remember.
An atom bomb, it seems, may kill, but it still can't blast the good in mankind.
Good? What good is there in mankind?
You've already proved it.
But there'll be no more men or women after us.
Your children?
There are no children. There will be none. The mist has destroyed the past and the future. We want no more tomorrows.
But we've got to go on living. There must be a reason why we were spared.
There is no reason. Oh, why can't we die?
What difference will it make in 50 or 100 years? What difference? What difference?
Apart from this group of new-made friends, I saw a man down on his knees fashioning something of a sort of metal that he dug from a hill nearby. Curious, in my dream, I approached him. No, don't let me interrupt you. I was just wondering what you were making. Are you a sculptor?
My work is very crude, but you see, some of us wanted this done.
What is it to be?
An animal? An image of an animal.
For decoration?
No. No, it's a kind of god, you see.
A god?
Yeah. You wonder that I do not make it in man's image as man used to do. Yeah? Yeah, you see, my friend, we do still, strangely enough, want something to worship. Something to believe in, but we no longer believe in man. So our god can't be like a man.
But this is horrible. A blasphemy.
We lost our god, and he has punished us. We are only trying to find him again. You will say God is in man's heart, but is he? Is he really in man's heart? He is everywhere. He saved this bit of green country for us. Yes. We will seek God again, because we must. But why in the likeness of man? Why in the likeness of a mankind who caused the world to end?
I tried to reason with him, to point out, even in this desolation, that God had not failed man. Man had failed the God in himself. Man must find the way back through himself. but his mind was touched with tragedy and he was groping blindly in the dark. Oh, was it to be the old story over and over again? Adam and Eve of the post-atomic age? Adam and Eve.
And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee its strength. Fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth.
Even at the end of this world, I wondered, was the beginning of the new world of the future to repeat the agonizing and tragic mistakes of the past? Was murder to follow man's first new gropings toward life again? How many centuries would it be before man would learn that his real enemy is inside himself? The enemy that men call, for lack of a better name, human nature, human passion. Man first killed his brother, man, without a feeling of guilt, because it was the only solution to getting rid of an obstruction to his brute desires. But when he developed to the point of accountability and was asked why he murdered, he said, like Cain,
Am I my brother's keeper?
I woke suddenly, shaking with terror, panting for breath, wet with the sweat of my fear.
It was morning outside, just as on that terrible first morning of my dream. Just as then, I heard a newsboy outside calling a headline.
X-ray, read all about it. New way to the war front. Austin calls for full show of strength from free nations. X-ray.
There is still a chance. The world has not yet shrunk, after all, to a patch of green that holds a mere handful of the Earth's survivors, friends and enemies. In spite of cynicism, disbelief, and cries that peace has failed, and that we are again at war, there's still a chance. Today, as we see the shadow of war lengthen over the world, the free man takes up his weapons against oppression and tyranny and prepares to do battle in the eternal struggle to help mankind live in dignity and liberty. He holds aloft the awful atomic bomb. He tests the catastrophic hydrogen bomb. He labors in the laboratory over bacteriological warfare, night and day over this free land. Free men work so that the fire of aggression can be fought with this new hellfire of free men's inventions. As an army officer said, when asked what weapons might be used in the next world war,
I don't know what weapons might ultimately be used in a third world war, but I'm certain of one thing. Any war fought after that would be fought with spears.
How far has man progressed from the Stone Age? Would he willingly go back to it and turn his back on all civilized history? Or has man learned in 1950 that the answer to his troubles and inner strife is really very simple? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love thy neighbor and thyself.
In the dawn of history, men huddled together in caves to form a protective union against the elements and their enemies.
In the ancient world, the democratic city-states of Greece joined in one of the first League of Nations to protect their common interests.
Even in the darkness of the Middle Ages, freedom-loving Englishmen banded together against the threat of absolute tyranny with the first great charter, the Magna Carta.
150 years ago, a group of men and women met on a tennis court in Paris to establish a new form of human government with the watchwords liberty, equality, and the brotherhood of man.
150 years ago, the elected delegates from the 13 United States assembled in Philadelphia to witness their belief that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights.
28 years ago, an American president dreamed of a League of Nations, but died heartbroken that all mankind was not yet ready for it.
5 years ago, the United Nations came into actual being, an organization which all mankind devoutly hoped at its beginning was to be a true parliament of the world.
I believe in the United Nations. I believe in any sincere effort to work out our confusing and complex problems by talking about them, not endlessly fighting about them. I must fortify myself against doubt and confusion and disbelief in ideals which men have fought and died for in centuries past. I must never forget that man has made progress toward the utopia his heart desires. The utopia of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The United Nations is vital proof of man's yearning for human rights and liberties. In the United Nations and its charter is the machinery for defeating chaos and uncertainty. In the United Nations, if men believe in it and work for it, may be, yes, may still be, yet another step, perhaps the most vital of all, toward a millennium of world peace and security. Weapons of destruction will not bring peace, for they will destroy their makers. It is through the United Nations that true weapons for peace will develop and mature. And I know these to be
freedom from fear,
freedom from want,
freedom of opportunity,
freedom to worship God as we choose,
and the sacredness of human rights and liberties for every human being in the world.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, where the gates shall not be shut by day or by night, for there shall be no night in that place. And the glory and honor of nations shall enter unto it.
Alternatives are available in the present crisis. Total war, worldwide destruction, or a strengthened United Nations and a new world, a more secure world in which man's dream may grow and mature through centuries to come. To bring to all men the human rights and liberties which are inherently theirs. This you must learn, that war can no longer be the final answer to international problems. But that in a strengthened United Nations lies the only means of preserving a world for the ever-expanding ideal, the inherent worth and dignity of the individual in a land of free men.
Paul Revere, portrayed by Maurice Copeland, will return next Sunday to narrate another chapter in the story we call Destination Freedom. Presented by Station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Today's script was written by Bill Hodapp and produced under the direction of John Collins. Arthur Peterson played the dreamer. Other members of the cast were Jack Lester, Norma Ransom, Russ Reed, and Jess Pugh. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Our engineer was George Wilson, sound effects by Cliff Mueller. This is Bill Grisky reminding you that the sound of the Freedom Bell is your invitation to follow Paul Revere along the road to Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.